Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of On the Woman. This is Fuchina Kirkendall, and it's always a privilege and an honor to be here with you tonight. I just thank you for who you are, and you know what? Because of the subject matter, we're just going to go straight into prayer. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord. You are just worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for who you are. I just thank you for what you've done in our lives and what you're about to do. I just thank you because regardless of what goes on, what kind of hiccups or whatever that comes the way, everything is according to your plan. And Lord, I ask that you decrease me, Lord, so you may get the increase. And I ask you to, I invite your Holy Spirit to come in to just show up and show out tonight. I thank you for those who are on the line and those who get ready to call in and those who are reaching out by way of demand. I just thank you for everyone, Lord, that you have designed to hear this ministry that you've birthed in me and just to share. I thank you for the lives that's going to be touched from this. And I thank you for the incubators and those other shows that are on the way that's coming in like stars and courting with a purpose. I just thank you for who they are. Just thank you for the fellowship and the networking that you're bringing forth in our lives. And it's through Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. So, Lord, I just wanted to start off by just saying good evening. It's been an interesting night, very, very interesting night. I'm just grateful for who God is in my life. You all know that, you know, everyone has their higher power. Mine is God, and I will boldly confess that. But I want to talk about, you know, I saw a movie this past weekend. It's called A Fall from Grace. I'm not sure if some of you have heard of it. It's by Tyler Perry. But it brought some very interesting perspective, and I could actually could relate to some of it. And it just talks about, and I remember in college, you would deal with people, and they would be one way but act a different way. And we would say, you know, it's like you're walking like a dog. You're walking like a dog, but talking like a cat. So which one are you? Because you got me a little confused. I mean, so it makes me wonder, is there some type of motive of something that's going on? You know, and you can't help but to wonder, when people come into your life and they come into your life a certain way and they say one thing, but you see another, and it's just like, it's just not lining up. Something is just not right. And you just, it makes you wonder, what is the motive behind your presence in my life or your presence in that person's life? And I'm a firm believer, you just give them time, a person will show you who they are. So it just brings me down to talking about motives, you know, people's motives when they come into your life and they interject in your life. What are people's motives? Some of them are good, some of them are not so good. Let's talk about that tonight. According to psychologist discussion.net, they said that motives is defined as a reason for doing something, especially one that is hidden or not obvious to others. Interesting. I also learned that motives are divided into three categories: biological, social, and personal. An interesting perspective is the goal of a motive is the fulfillment of a want or a need. And basically, whenever a need arises, the person is driven to fulfill that want or need. Let me add something to that. And sometimes it can be by any means necessary. I'm going to go back to the movie, A Fall from Grace, and it talked about an older woman and divorcee, hadn't really been in a relationship or whatever since her husband cheated on her with her secretary. And then she meets her friend, introduce her or suggest that she goes out and meets someone else. And as a result of it, you know, she falls into this younger guy, and the guy tells her everything she wants to hear, everything that, you know, does everything that probably she hasn't done, had done to her in a while. And then she ends up falling for him. And then as soon as she fell for him, and they get married. And then after they get married, everything changes. He steals from her. He just flipped her upside down. I mean, she ended up losing her job, losing her dignity, all because he had a motive. And the motive was to steal from her. And he successfully, to a degree, he did, but she was able to gain it back. So it goes back to, what are people's motives in our lives when you have people that come in? And I also want to talk later on about how we can try to detect that sometimes. You know, I'd be the first one to tell you, I'm not a psychologist. I'm just telling you from personal testimonies of myself, or personal testimonies of those who will be chiming in later on or sending in their messages, which leads me to this. If you know someone who can benefit from this tonight, please, you know, I highly encourage them, you know, have them call in at 914-338-1552. That call-in number again is 914-338-1552. Now, they know that's a call-in number. They don't necessarily have to call in unless they want to. If they're interested in being chimed in, is what I call chimed in, they can actually text me at 678-887-9441. And when you text me, if it's something that you, if you want to say something, just say, chime me in. Or if you don't want to say anything, and I've had people that text me along the line and just text what they want me to share, just say, just sharing, and then give me your text, and I will gladly read it on the show, and I don't have to identify you. I will just do it that way. I do have a lot of my people who like to listen to the show, because sometimes they can't catch it on live because it's 9:30, 10:30. I understand that. But thank you so much for tuning in after the fact, because it is on demand, and they can come out to www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. I am on Facebook, Chronicles of a Fondled Woman, and on Twitter at hashtag Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. You'll be able to reach me there. Also, I do have people that really reaches out to me on email, and I thank you so much for sending me your emails, and I always try to respond back within 24 to 48 hours. Forgive me if I hadn't done that. That's very rare, but you're more than welcome to continue to do so, so thank you. And you can do that at C as in Charlie, OAFwoman@gmail.com. I just want to say a special shout out, because I get a chance to look at my demographics of those who are listening to the show. And I noticed that we have an audience in the Philippines and also in Haiti. And for those of you who are listening out there in the Philippines and Haiti, I want to thank you so much for tuning in and just encouraging you just do the best that you can do. And I would love to hear from you one day. Email, Facebook, or Twitter. Please. And if you feel that someone else can benefit from the show, by all means, can share the word, because that's really what this is all about. So I just thank you all for just tuning in. Now that we got all the introductions out, I just want to know, say, going back to, you're walking like a dog, we're talking like a cat. We're talking about motives tonight. And we're talking about how some people come into your lives, or just come in and they present one thing, and they say one thing and they do another. So we're going to go into the different types of motives that we have out there. Now, tonight's going to be very interesting, because I'm actually doing it solo tonight. So it's very, very, very interesting today. But, Lord, I'm going to let you take the way and take the wheel on it. But
So we're going to talk about some of the different types of motives that I've mentioned. We're going to start with biological. And biological motives, in this sense, we'll talk about, for instance, if the body is hungry, then we're going to feed our bodies. If the body is thirsty, we're going to feed and quench our thirst. These are some of the type of biological motives that we talk about, the need for oxygen, the need for sleep, avoidance of pain, elimination of waste, even a sex motive and a maternal motive. These are all biological, what they would consider biological motives that we go, that we get into. So I just thought that was very interesting, you know, because those are just natural things that we do in our lives. You know, I would say as far as need for sleep, for me, I suffer from insomnia every now and then. Now, it's not been as bad now. I've changed my diet and some of my the way I handle my health. It's been a difference. But I just thought that was a very interesting subject or a very interesting category that it's in, because it's one of those things we just never really think about it. So going into social motives, I thought this one was very interesting too. And it talks about, they're called, the primary motives are the biological. The secondary motives are split in two parts. Well, social motive is set in two different parts. And it'll be like the achievement of motive, aggressive motive, acquisitive motive, curiosity, and there's one motive in there I really cannot understand because I'm going to spell it and I want someone else to try to pronounce it for me, and it's spelled GREGARIOUSNESS. If someone can help me out with that, if you all know it, hey, please chime in. If not, then I'll get back with you all, I promise, once I find out how to say it, okay? But I just thought that was very interesting because it kind of, it talks about, it gives a description like far as the achievement motive, you know, when we want to achieve to receive some, achieve a goal. Like, for instance, if you want a promotion on the job, you want to do a better job performance. These are some of the social motives that we're talking about as far as achievement is concerned. You know, trying to do better, doing what we need to do better, helping our children make better decisions. These are all part of those social motives. Then we go into aggressive motives, and that's when some people react aggressively when faced with situations. Now, I myself am guilty of this. I have a tendency of reacting versus responding. And throughout my years, I've gotten much better with that, but I've always been guilty of that. And I remember my child's father once told me, "Chyna, aggressive but not abrasive." I've never forgotten that because I clearly understand that now, that when you learn to be, you may be aggressive but not abrasive in your approach. Because sometimes that will get you into a situation you may not need to be in or want to be in or may not recover from being in. So you just have to be a little careful about that. And it's a choice. Everything is a choice. Then you have power motives. We have some people who will be concerned about having impact on other people. And some people like to, you know, power trip, quote unquote. And I've been guilty of that too in the past. You know, we get so drunk with positions that we can't see the forest past the trees, and we just get a little high on our horse. And sometimes God got to bring us right back down, and he will do that. Then you have aggressive motive. And this is like for individuals who just love, acquisitive motive. As one of those people who have to have that material property, I guess what we would call the Joneses, trying to hang with the Joneses. You know, it come across, you know, having to earn a lot of money. Or I've learned being in the ATL area that people are very, very into materialistic things. They want to know what kind of car you drive, if it's a good night car, or if you're in a big house. If you are, renting or owning, or what kind of clothes you have. I've just never seen so much vanity in my life. I'm just a simple person. But you do have some people out there who is just, they have a tendency, they want a human tendency that they want to acquire things that are so, so attractive. And in this case, material-wise. And some people look at people that way, you have some people who love collect nice things and fine things, and a woman or man being a part of that. So you just have to, but that's very interesting doing research. Your curiosity motive, you want to explore, you want to know new things. You indulge in traveling, you indulge in going to new places, new development, going outside your environment. You're more so the adventurous type. And then it's that word I told y'all I don't know how to say, but I'm just going to, I think it's gargantuous. It's known as an affiliation need. It has the tendency to associate oneself, I'm going to just read for what I see. It is a tendency to associate oneself with other members of the group of the same species. This individual will be interested in establishing and maintaining and repairing friendly relationships, and will be interested in participating in group activities. So I guess individual will conform to social norm is basically what they're trying to get at here, and other ethical codes of this group in which she is interested. So very interesting. I'm going to look that up more and have more to say about that the next time we come back to visit this. And then we have personal motive. I think of all the motives that I've discussed tonight, this is the one I really want to hone in the most. And it talks about, it's aligned with both of the other ones that we talked about. It's like a collaboration. And then it talks about force of habits, like chewing tobacco, alcohol consumption. It could be good habits of like also exercising, reading newspaper, meditating. Then we talk about goals of life. Those who have certain goals that they want to get to. We talked about that a little earlier. And it also talks about the acquisition of things as well. Public service, being into public service, setting goals depending on different factors such as knowledge, information, guidance, support, personality, facilities. Then you have level goals or aspirations. You have another one called attitude and interest. And I want to go off a little bit. This is actually the last one before I go into what I really want to get into. And it just talks about our attitude and interest. Our attitude and interest determines our motivation. They are specific to each individual, which hones into what I really want to talk about tonight. And it talks about that movie I was telling about. I remember dealing with someone in college. I wouldn't say me personally, but just seeing things right in front of you. They come off as the Prince Charming, and they'll know the things to say. They know the things that you would like to have happen and to get you where you need to be. And then once they get you to where you need to be and they accomplish that mission, then things just change. And then you're looking like, what happened? How did I let this happen? So I'm going to spell it again. I had someone ask me to spell it again. So it is that word GREGARIUSNESS. I'll spell it one more time. GREGARIUSNESS. So thank you for chiming in. These are people who are texting me along the way. So if you're interested in chiming in, like I said, just chime me in at 678 887-9441. Or if you just want to share, just indicate your share and indicate your the text message that you want me to share. So, but thank you for following up on that, because I'm curious to see how that turns out. And then let me know when you're ready to jump on the air to give me the definition of that. But going back to, you know, the story, you know, that person just flipped. I mean, like a total, I won't say 360, because when it's 360, it comes back to the same spot. But a 180, like, totally night and day, walking like a dog but talking like a cat. And then it just had us baffled, like, who is this person? This is not the person that we first met. You know, what's going on? And it left us in a state of, wow, I mean, how did we miss all this? And it's interesting, because when I start thinking of such a scenario such as this, because it's not just this, I think about that movie, and that's a real life scenario. I mean, we've all come short or fall short in some kind of way, and we ask ourselves, how do we find ourselves in this situation? Well, the truth of the matter is, some of the signs have already been there. Some of the signs have truly been there, but sometimes we just ignore the signs. Now, going back to the scenario of walking like a dog, talking like a cat, you know, some people, whether they females, you know, as females, we know if we want to get something, we know what we need to do to get what we need to want, to get what we need to get from males. And that is, I'm just going to be 100% on that. You know, we do know, but males are the same way. I just know that some males, and this is just history from dealing with some of the males in my life, you know, that tell me, you know, they would pounce on vulnerable women because those were the easiest ones to deal with. So you would do whatever, say whatever you need to say to get whatever you need to get with the intentions of that. And as women, I just know that some of us, because I'm over 40, I'm actually on my way to 50, like knocking on the door, you know, I just know that we tend to, okay, I don't know any way but to be honest and real about it. We just have a tendency of feeling that, you know, we're to our end and we're getting older, and now you got to deal with younger women, and we feel the need to settle. And it's, oh gosh, it's so not the case. I've been there. Now, I'm not going to say I have not been there. I have been there, and that's why I'm speaking, because I'm speaking from experience. Until I found out, too, I realized who I am and whose I am. But we do have a tendency of doing that. And some of the identifiers, I'm just going to kind of shift a little back and forth, but people know how to identify people. You know, if they're looking for something in particular, they know what to do. They know what kind of conversation to engage you in. They know what they need to say, what they don't need to say. I personally, myself, I knew if I was going to be with someone after a conversation, I knew how I wanted the conversation to go. I knew what information I wanted to find out, to find out if I want to take this another step further, and whether that was going to have sex or whether that was going to start a relationship or whatever the motive I had. But there was always some type of motive. So, and men are no different. So the thing about it is, how do we get to a point where we do not allow ourselves to become vulnerable? First of all, let me make sure I'm clear. I'm not judging anyone. I'll be the first one to tell you I've been through it, wrote a book about it, and my picture is probably beside the word. So I understand. No judging here. But it's something that I just want us to talk about how to share. Okay. Talk about a chime in and share. I see some familiar faces on here, so I want you to. I know that I have one person that wants to chime in, so if you give hold on one tight, and I will get you on in just a second. And I see an old familiar on the line, and I'll be with you in just one second. But before I move forward, I definitely want to get that that definition of that word. So, Miss Barbara, how are you? Welcome to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman.
Hey, my sister. Thank you. Thank you. That word, gregariousness. Yes, that's a person who has a preference to be a part of a group. That's the person who they very seldom are alone. They thrive and seek out connection, community, socializing. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, refers to animals being in flocks, you know, like a flock of birds, like a herd of cattle. You know, they're group oriented. They thrive better together. But we as individuals can't be stuck in that zone. If we can't love and be strong enough independently on our own too, then you have to go back and reevaluate, because any relationship or any connection you have with someone, when you come together and you're broken and you're unable to stand alone, then you kind of set yourself up for the potential for having unhealthy relationships, unhealthy attachment. So it's like, you know, searching God and knowing who you are, knowing whose you are, and being confident in that, and then, you know, you won't have to be gregarious.
I learned me a good word today. Thank you so much. And don't you leave, Barbara. I'll be back to you in just one second, okay? But that word just caught me off guard. I was like, no, I don't. I'll be the first one to tell you. If I don't know, I'm sure going to tell you I don't know, and I'm going to need some help on it. So thank you, my sister, for helping me out on that. But I'm going back to what the show is all about. The show is all about walking like a dog and talking like a cat, and we are focusing on motives, whether their motives can be good, motives can be bad. But we're exposing it and then talk about, you know, some of the identifiers and what we can do to try to protect ourselves. And I have an old faithful on the line. I'm so happy to hear him on the line. It's been a while. So thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. And how are you?
It was happening.
How are you, Jay?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I am good. I am good. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, you know, I be laying low like the roaches, but, you know, I'm here tonight, man. Just, you know, I felt like calling in. I read the description. I'm like, all right, you know, well, let's get into it, you know. So I figured I'd call up.
Well, I appreciate that. So I know you've been listening. I know you got a chance to read the little blurb I put on it, like walking like a dog and talking like a cat. You know, saying one thing, but your action shows another. Makes me wonder, what are your motives? You know, what's your thoughts?
Well, that phrase in general, though, that already kind of confuses me, because most of what I've seen in life is most people walk like a dog but act like a cat, not talk like a cat. They actually act like one. You dig? And I mean that in the personal sense of being the P word. You dig? I can't, you know, this is what they really call cats. So what I would say is, you know, most people talk like dogs, but they walk, you know, they actually walk like cats. They talk like dogs and walk like cats. I wouldn't say they act like dogs and talk like cats, but actually walk like cats.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the real world word for cat, you know, this the P. I don't know if I can say it on your show. I don't want to do that to you, but you know what I mean with the P word.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it is. So most people, you know, they talk like dogs, but they walk like that. You know, like they pee to sit, like they sit down and pee.
Oh,
and stuff
I
like
didn't
that.
Mean
so,
it in that
yeah.
sense whatsoever.
No, real talk.
I didn't think
it's,
Oh no, I get what you're saying, but no, it wasn't coming across that way. But I'm glad you gave me a high, you know, insight of that. I'll definitely keep that in mind when I'm choosing my words in the future.
No.
But
it's your show.
As
my bad. I ain't mean to do all that.
Oh,
it's,
no.
It's your show.
Oh, no, no,
I was just saying what I feel
no.
about the phrase. That's all.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. I definitely am. But, you know, if you say that way, you know, it's something I would definitely look at. But the point is, people say one thing, and they act another way. And that's basically what this is about.
Okay.
And that's what I want
gotcha.
To get your perspective on.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, that makes better sense. Yeah, oh, well, when it comes to that, man, you're talking about 99% of the world in the human population. So that's why, you know, I thrive, you know, and I'm a very serious advocate, you know, on being to self, you know, being one deep, you know, with anything I do. Like, I don't like being around people. Like, I love to be by myself, my own company. I like to make my money by myself. I like to get drunk by myself. I like to go to a restaurant by myself. I like to go buy good clothes by myself. I don't like being around nobody. And as far as relationships go, I'm not able to have those, because what that means is that, you know, a relationship means you got to be able to deal with the other person's stuff. I can barely deal with my own stuff. So there's no way in the world that I could actually add somebody into my life that's going to bring extra, you know, because I ain't built like that. You know, so therefore, when it comes to that type of stuff, you're talking about 99% of the entire human population that says one thing and acts like another thing. You know, all the time. But me, you know, I grow, you know, I learn as I grow. You know, and, you know, that's anybody, but I've always stayed the same, though, you know, mentally, you know, with most of everything that I've ever done. You know, I'm pretty much the same way. I might have learned some stuff along the way, though, you know, that might have changed this viewpoint or that viewpoint, but for the most part, I've always stayed pretty much the same. And when you're talking about that many people, I mean, when you say that statement, you know, you're talking about near about the whole world. So that's why I don't indulge in that. Like, I'm a solo guy. I don't do that stuff. I don't like people. I think people are, you know, people are just people. You know, they do it, like you said, they talk this way and then act this way behind closed doors, and they'll do this in my face, and then when they're around other people, they'll do this. And it's, I don't have time for none of that stuff. I like me. I like my company. Because I know that I'm not going to do me nothing dirty. I know I'm not going to do me nothing fake. I know I'm not going to do me nothing that's not, you know, I like my company. You know, maybe a lot of people tell me that I'm crazy for that. But it's not me being crazy. It's just the world's crazy. I'm not. I'm just one of the people that's sane in the crazy world. So, therefore, the world look at me like I'm crazy. But it's really the opposite. You know, so I
got to
deal with stuff like
that. What got you to
that point? Oh, just living
what
life.
Got you to that point? Have you always been that way, or something got you to that point of being this way?
That's a good question. Well, when I was younger, though, you know, I used to want to try to fit in with everybody, bro. You know, I grew up in a certain neighborhood. I would get out there and do this and that, and dodge going to jail. You know, I would try to dodge not being killed. You know, I've been surrounded. You know, I've been in shootouts and all these things. I've been to jail for almost killing my cousin and stuff like this. But you know. I done been through all these things. I used to want to try to just be around everybody, but as I got older, I'm 26 now, so now it's like, man, all y'all can kiss my, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's my feeling today, though. I don't care about what nobody feel about me. I don't care what nobody think about me. I don't care what you say about me with the people that you around. I don't care about none of that hurts my feet. None of it touches me at all. I don't be around people.
So
I don't like people. I do my thing, that's it, and I mind my business.
I hear you. It's funny that you're sharing what you're sharing, because it goes back to what Barbara explained about that. She just told me what that word was, and I forgot it already. I want to say gargantuous, but I know that's not what it is. But it talked about what you just said. You were trying to fit in, trying, you know, do what you need to do. You know, you got in where you fit in, and that's what you were trying to do. And we, you know, so it goes back to that's actually a social motive. Category of motive. So that's very interesting. Thank you for sharing that. So if you're saying it on the line, I appreciate you very much. I'll be back to you. You know I am. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
But like Jay said, you know, I get where he's going at, you know, because we're coming to a society now where you just have to kind of shut everybody out because, one, I don't know exactly what his feelings are, but to me, if I get to that point, I get in shutdown mode, I start pulling people, pulling people away. It's because I'm going in protective mode because I got to protect me. I got to protect me is what I need to do. Now, I'm not saying that's what he's doing, but I just know that for me, I'm a social butterfly for those who really know me. I love to socialize. I love people. But I do get in my point where when people show me who they are, I believe you. It took me a long time to believe. It would take a lot for me to get to a point where, okay, this person doesn't mean me any good. I mean, they're saying one thing, but I'm seeing another. And I have this thing about friends. I'm very particular on who I call the friend, because a friend to me is someone, not when you're in my face, but behind my back. That's when I know you're my friend. And I found out many years ago from my classmates, the least people that I thought had my back had my back. And they had my back behind my back, and I didn't even know. It just like took me off guard, but it meant something to me. Until this day, we are very, very close to this very, very day, because I know that when it's all said and done, they got my back. So what were their motives? Their motives always been protect me, because we all grew up together. And regardless of, you know, everybody tried to put everyone in classes and cliques and all that, I never could deal with it very well. But they were the ones that always had my back when I didn't even know they had my back. You know, so their motives to me were genuine. They're still genuine to this day. And then you had some people, even now as an adult, you know, and I'm not sure if you all have gone through this, but I would love to hear about that. And if you are, please chime in. Like, if you're interested in chiming in, or you just want to chime in, like, I've been getting it. So thank you for those who are texting me. You can chime in at by dialing 678-887-9441. And you can do that by texting me and just say, hey, just chime me in. Or if you just want to express something and you don't want to be on air, you just want me to read it, just say, just share to 678-887-9441. And just say, just share, and I'll be more than happy to share your input on that. Like I said, we are on demand as well. And so when this broadcast is over and you think someone or you feel someone can benefit from it, you can have them log in to www.blogtalk.com/Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. I get a lot of participation after the show airs because of the time it airs, and I really, really appreciate it. And once again, shout out again for my audience out in the Philippines and Haiti. I really, really appreciate it, and I also have some in Barbados as well. But I really, really appreciate you all. It just confirms to me what God has called me to do. And I tell you, there are times when I get discouraged. I will not tell you that it's like a cakewalk for me all the time. No, there are times when I get discouraged. But when I go to, when I'm given the topic of my show and I go and look at the demographics of those who is reaching, it just does something for me. And it keeps me pushing. It just lets me know that I'm doing what God has called me to do, and I'm going to continue to do that. And I thank you all for listening out there to me, and I get your emails, I get your Facebook all the time, the messages and stuff, and I just thank you for always encouraging. And I want to encourage all of my sisters and all of my brothers who are out there reaching their aspirations. And I have a girlfriend who's getting ready to launch her Blog Talk radio show, and I'm going to go into that at the end of tonight. But I'm very, very excited because we've become partners in this, because it's all about kingdom building, and it's all about exposing. And when I say exposing, I mean you can be, I'll use myself as an example. I love God, baptized full with the Holy Spirit, but as soon as my memory was triggered, all Hades broke loose in me. So I knew that the root was still there. And the purpose of Chronicles of a Fondled Woman, the purpose of an upcoming show called Scars, is to address those type of issues. Let people know that you're not the only one. There are people out here who's been through it. And there's nothing more satisfying or more relaxing or relieving is than knowing that you have people out there who have gone through or going through what you have gone through and can help you get to where you're trying to go. Because I'm a firm believer, you need to attract yourself, or you need to surround yourself about around people where you want to be. So if you want to be successful, you need to surround yourself around successful people. If you trying to be here, you need to surround yourself by people, because if they can do it, they can teach you how to do it. And that's what it's all about, paying it forward. So as we move on with the motives can be a good thing, motives can be a not so good thing. I think when it comes to me, I have a tendency, I will call you out in a second. Now, I'm not saying that's always a good thing. My tongue has gotten very dull throughout my years, but during my earlier years, I did not mind being brutally honest. If I felt like you were a phony, it reminds me of Jay, because Jay's personality and my personality is not too much a little different. I'm a little older now, so I learned how to learn to be more for me. I had to learn to be more graceful and tactful, because I know there are certain bottom line figures that I need to get. So I had to learn to deal with people on their level versus on my level. So, you know, I have Barbara back on the line with me, and I just know from knowing her as long as I have, you know, being strong-minded, you know, at one point in, you know, going back to that word. Well, could you pronounce that word again, Barbara?
Gregariousness.
I want to say gregariousness for some reason. But it's so funny that you said it. And we had Jay not too long ago that talked about exactly what that word was defined as. But, you know, going back in your childhood, or, you know, some of the things, the experiences that you've gone through, you know, what would you say would be an experience for you as far as motives?
My motive.
Or someone's motive towards you.
Someone's motive towards me. Let me think. My husband loves golf, comes from a college where there's few black guys, and they're real cliquish. Citadel grad, but I think they have this perception of having Stepford wives, and that the wives are supposed to get along. So, you know, I feel like the motivation of some of the women weren't necessarily for having genuine sisterhood and relationship, but it was about something else that was a status thing, or they wanted to get in your presence and kind of, you know, flex the materialism. And like you said, I'm not, my biggest feeling is it's not who you're wearing, it's who you are. So all of that materialism really doesn't matter. But, yeah, I do feel like I've been approached by someone's motives that had nothing to do with getting to know who I really was, but what I could bring image-wise to their little circle.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. I want to kind of shift the gears a little bit and talk about we have these people with motives. We know we have those people that come in saying one thing and then they doing another. And I want to talk about tips on early detection on that. And I'm going to kind of chime in between you and Jay on this one. And for me, I've learned, I'm very big on conversating. I talk a lot, but I'm listening even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people that just because I talk a lot don't mean I'm not listening. I'm listening harder than I'm talking to you. But I'm engaging because I need to figure out what type of person you are. Now, I pretty much know if this conversation needs to go to the left, or this conversation needs to go to the right, or this is going to be the first and the last conversation that we're going to have. And one of the things I look for when I'm dealing with people is consistency. I'm going to ask you the same question At least 50 times, probably more than that.
Uh-huh. See if that answer changes. That's
I'm gonna see if that answer still the same.
That's right.
I'm gonna revisit something, and I might take a different approach to revisiting it. But I want to see if you're saying the same thing over again.
Mm-hmm.
Now I had a recent encounter, and I was like, wait a minute, didn't they say this at this and this time? I don't forget nothing. I don't. So I'm going to engage again because maybe I misunderstood. And I'm like, oh, stories change again.
Yeah.
Okay. So now I know what your tendencies are.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes people are fast talking. And those are the ones I really love, the ones that are fast talking. They talk so fast.
Talk a lot.
And they didn't forget.
Yeah.
They didn't forgot what they said. You know, those are the ones that forget what they said. And then, you know, you're going into the conversation and it leads to, I recently had someone express their feelings for me. And I was just like, okay, I'm a big advocate of you can talk all you want, but if your actions does not line up with what you're saying, then all you're doing is talking. That's all you're doing is talking.
Okay.
And I'm listening.
Right. No, I'm totally agreeing with you. There has to be some action to substantiate what you're saying. Because,
exactly.
I mean, those things are action words. Love, that's an action word.
Exactly.
You can express that to me and never say the word, and I know you're 100 about it. So,
exactly.
Yeah. There has to be
exactly.
It has to
line up. It has to line up. And if you're doing that, like for instance, I got this thing about lying. If you lie about little things, then I know you're gonna lie about big things.
Definitely.
If you can't be upfront with little things, you're not gonna be upfront about big things. So at this point, when you start seeing, you start detecting those things. You just kind of sit back and like, oh, okay. Now you're going to have to make a decision. It's not them making a decision. You're going to have to make a decision. And you're going to have to decide, do I want to pursue this and get myself all caught up? Because I'm guilty of that too. You know, because, you know, as women, sometimes we feel like, oh, we can, you know, we can be the Messiah. We can tame him. We can make it better. I mean, I can show him a different way of life. No. Ladies, if y'all thinking about doing that, please don't do that.
Okay.
Let me
don't waste
spare
your energy
you.
And your time.
Don't
do it.
Waste your energy doing that because it's not going to work. All it's going to lead you to is losing your hair, losing your dignity, losing whatever, and for things that you could have already avoided.
Yeah.
Because the signs are there. And God will always send you a sign. It's up to you on whether you believe it or not. Now, this is one of the reasons why I love being celibate. Because sex was, a hinder for me. And I knew that it was. And if the sex was good, I didn't care about anything else. Because now I got it, and it needs to be scratched. I don't care about nothing else. And then after a while, you'd be like, how the heck did I end up in this? Then you start thinking. You wasn't thinking. You was thinking about all the other, you was thinking about every, but that one need that you have and everything else you didn't even pay attention to when the signs was clearly there. So, you know, we just, you know, when people show you who they are, believe it. Just
always.
Believe it. Thank you so much, Miss Barbara. You know I love you. Keep holding on, honey. You know, when people show you who they are, you got to believe it. And that's just bottom line. And these are just signs of detection. You know, when you see signs of early detection, run. Run. It's not worth it. And no, you can't change anyone or what. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen because a person is going to change only if they want to change. What's your thoughts on that, Mr. John? Mr. J?
I mean, that's pretty much what it is. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, like I said before, like, people going to be people. And unfortunately, most of the population just is just what it is. Like, and I don't, you know, most people, you like yourself included, like you were saying before, you like being social and all these things and stuff like that. And like a lot of people, they have the patience to be able to deal with their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's the reason why people look at me like I'm crazy though, because I don't have patience for that. You know, like if
mm-hmm.
you even move the wrong, if you even make the wrong, if you even turn your neck too fast around me, and I don't like the way that you turn your neck, I'm cutting you off. Like, all I'm gonna say to you is what's up, and I'm not even gonna dap you up.
Wow.
I'm one of those people though. Like, if you do something that I don't like, I'm not good at kissing behind you, dig? I'm not good at
mm-hmm.
pretending with you just because the world tells me I gotta try to be civilized with people that I don't like. If I don't like you, I don't mind you knowing that I don't like you. For some reason, people don't seem to grasp that, like it's some kind of foreign object. You know, like they're like, oh, well, I don't know what their reaction is going to be, bro, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to do that. Or, you know, they might get mad and say, man, I don't care nothing about it. Like, if I don't like you, you'll know it. And then if you were to do something to me because of that, I'm not going to be the one to start with you. That's your problem.
Right.
What's that got to do with me? Like, all I'm doing is that if I don't like you, I don't like you. And if that hurts your feelings enough to where you want to do something to me, that's your problem. And you're welcome to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. 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 That's realistic approach. And it can't get any real in it. I just learned that it's interesting because, and I'm not sure if you've dealt with this, but I know I have. I'm a very real person. I don't like to sugarcoat. And I'm not going to beat around the bush. And you don't have to wonder, well, what are you trying to say? Because you know exactly what I'm trying to say, because I said it. I said exactly what I'm trying to say. And some people take that as you having some type of motive. I said, no, I'm just being honest. I'm being honest because, one, I don't have time to lie because I don't have time to be trying to remember all the lies I talk. I'm just not going to do that. I'm just going to be straight up, and this is how I feel. It's not going to change. That is just the way it is. But I've learned that some people have a hard time dealing with truth.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. Because some people will like to live in the lie versus dealing with the truth. And the bottom line is there is no motive when you have truth. The motive is very clear. There is no motive. I'm just being honest with you. You asked, I told. And anytime you ask a question, you need to be able to accept the answer. It may not be the one that you like, but that's what you asked for. That's what you're going to get. So,
well, see, that gets tricky. That gets tricky, though.
In what way?
Because when you try to – you can't be honest with everybody. I'm going to explain this to you, though, and this is the best
mm-hmm.
way I can explain it. All right, let's say that, you know, you out in public, right, and there's somebody that, you know, just does some of the stuff that you don't like in front of you. Now, me being – you know, a few years ago, you dig, like, I would have been like, yo, I'm about to snap your eyebrows off. I don't know how to deter between the two of those. So my stuff is different, though. But what I've learned nowadays is that when I do that, you know, what happens when I do that is now I got to get arrested. I got to go to jail. I got to go through booking. I got to get put in a cell. I got to deal with strangers I don't like. I got to try to come up with bond money, and then I got to try to keep up with a court date to figure out if I'm finna go to jail or if I'm going to be let off with a probation. It's a big mess, though, right? So what I've learned is that if I want to slap a chick eyebrows off for talking to me like I'm a husband, or if I were to slap a dude in the mouth for talking to me like I'm his lady, I got to deal with the consequences because the world is set up to where they protect people like that. You know, because if I enforce what I know is right, and even though it's real and it's true, if I try to enforce that on somebody, I get the salt end of the stick. So therefore, I've learned how to just bite my tongue, swallow my pride, and grip my teeth. You dig, and smoke two packs a day because of it. I know if I slap somebody eyebrows off for doing something foul, and they know they're doing it, I gotta pay the cost for that. And I don't have money to keep paying bail. I don't have the patience. No, I don't have more stress to give out than going through the court system. I can't do that no more. You dig, and I got tired of people trying to. I got tired of people that was literally making me do that all the time. Because if I slap this chick, I got to deal with her husband, I got to deal with her cousins or uncles, and then somebody going to die or I'm going to die, and it's a big mess. So now I had to completely flip my brain and thinking, all right, this chick talked to me crazy, right? Now, if I punch in the head and knock in the floor to tell her that's not, you don't do, I'm not your husband, don't do that with me. Now, I potentially got to go kill, I potentially got to kill her husband, her uncles, or her cousins, whoever she's saying to get me after that, because she talk a big game. I put her in the floor, now she's going to call somebody, the cops, her brother, whoever it is. Now, I got to be put in a bad situation because she ain't had no home training, or even if it's a man. And I hear him, now he calling his boys, or he's calling somebody. Now, I got to, and this, it get, see, this, man, I don't mean to talk so much, but it, I'm real passionate about this situation because this stuff I've been dealing with my whole life. You cannot put your hands on a sucker that do something foul today. It's illegal to be a stand-up person. It's illegal. If you do it, you're out of here, period. Now you got to water yourself down as a stand-up individual. If not, you might as well go ahead and call the prison and say, hey, brother, save me a bunk. I'm coming in 2 weeks because I know somebody finna. You better just make a permanent reservation in the jailhouses. You know what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying. And I get what you're saying on the perspective, you know, when you give truth and stuff like that, because everybody can't handle truth. And that's really the bottom line. People just can't handle truth. They just can't handle truth. And I'm like you. I find myself, especially at my job, I have to literally bite my tongue. I mean, I literally have to, like, go into a place where prayer, because I cannot afford my other side to come out because I have a bad temper. Now, they don't think I have a bad temper, and I don't care what you think because I have nothing to prove, but I really do have a bad temper. And I know for me, I'll snap and I'll flip, and then I'll zone out. And the next thing you know, I'll be like Halle Berry on Gothica. I just can't afford to do all that. So my point is taking control of my emotions when I do it. But going back to those motives, you know, you have some people who are trying to get you to come out of your character. And then I've learned, no, I have control over me, and that's what I'm going to deal with. So, Jay, you know I always appreciate you. I do. And I hope you hang on, hon. I hope you hang on. So as I was saying, you know, I thank Jay for giving that information and also Barbara as well. But we just have to, if you see early detection, some of the early detection signs are, in number one, inconsistencies. This goes back to walking like a dog, talking like a cat. You know, you saying one thing, but you doing another. You know, it has to align, as Barbara mentioned earlier. It all has to align with one another, and it has to be consistent. And we have to keep those things in mind. You know, another thing for me is, you're a very private person. I get that. I do. But if you're engaging with other people or trying to engage with someone, why do you stay so secretive? That's something else to look at. You know, why are you so secretive? I'm understanding you. Are you running from something or someone? You know, and if so, I'm not trying to get caught up in that. I don't want to get caught up in that, because you don't know. Really, you don't know what you're dealing with. This is why we communicate. And I get that people are private. I do. But if you're trying to engage with someone and you want that person to be special, whatever, at what point do you start? I mean, I know that you want to, you know, build up, but at what point? Because for females, it's about safety. We're going to have safety concerns, and males as well, because you got some females that are just as special, if not more, than some of the males. So as we get ready to bring this to a close and to an end, one of the things I would suggest, run. I mean, if you see something, and if you are a woman of God or a man of God, and you ask him to display that stuff, and he does, run. Don't sit there and try to figure out or try to make it right or whatever, because if God's already told you this is not for you, it is not for you to say, well, God, he is or she is for me, because now you're setting yourself up for failure. So value yourself. Know who you are and whose you are. And if you keep those principles and those ground principles, you can never go wrong with it. Don't let anyone take your peace away from you. If someone is coming in your life and they're taking your peace away from you, because you have some people with the motives to steal your joy. You have people with motives to steal whatever you got going on, whether it's your husband, whether it's your family, whatever the case may be. So I thank you for tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonder Woman. My name is Fachina Kirkendall. It's always a privilege and a pleasure. God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed, and good night.